fact.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Could I add something?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I respect his privacy there. I really don't want to be that close to the line either, to say the truth. We're pinched on the east side by his property and his, you know, his pier, and the channel swings in really close on the east, and we're pinched to the west because of the shallow nature of the water there. And, you know, if we were to get out there and try moving it a little bit farther to the west and see if we could accommodate the boat, I have no problem with moving it. But, if you know, if moving it 5 feet or 10 feet to the west means that I don't have any water over on the west side of the pier, then I think that's, you know, that's unreasonable.
Thank you, Roger. Anybody else have addressed this issue from the audience? If not, the issue is before the board. Mr. Chick.
Move to approve as staff's recommended.
Second.
You heard the motion. Second. Any other discussion on the motion? If not, all that approve the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried.
Mr. Chairman, I just need to bring something to your attention. I will have to leave today at 6 o'clock.
All right.
Because I'm teaching at Hampton University.
All right. We'll still have a quorum.
It'll still leave us fine.
Okay.
It'll still leave us a quorum.
Yeah, it still leaves a quorum.
Still leaves a quorum.
We might be limping, but...
Yeah.
I had to leave it.
At 4:30.
4:30. I think you passed that.
I called.
Yeah.
Ron Hall, 05224. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. Good evening. And before January is over, Happy New Year to you all.
Yeah.
We might still be here.
That's why I wanted to get that in. I'm going to be as quick as possible, but I do have some material I need to cover. You all have the packet.
You've got 3 pages here. Kind of skim over it.
My evaluation failed to add a royalty assessment. That's the only thing that isn't in there that you have not seen, and I'll get to that at the time. Kathy, please straight to the slides. Mr. Hall is requesting authorization to install 2 offshore breakwaters with beach nourishment, and the project is protested by the next-door neighbor. Here we are just off Steamer Rock, as a matter of fact, just east of the Norris Bridge and the Rappahannock River, Mosquito Point there. You can see on the topo this little bulge, which probably is there to represent the outcrop, which is the heart of the matter. There's an iron ore outcrop on the property, which may have some archaeological significance. 2002 satellite photo. This is the Hall property. The property has since been purchased by Mr. Hall. This was a previous property owner. That house has been razed, and Mr. Hall is building a new house. This is the foundation of the Tharps house that's going in at the time. They are the ones that are protesting, as are the Charlie Hall, Mr. and Mrs. Charlie Hall, on an adjacent property here. You can see in this area there's a bit of a feature in the shoreline, which is this iron ore outcrop. And back in 2002, you can see that this property has been armored already. Mr. Tharp's property and Mr. Hall's property to the south have also been graded and armored at this point. Aerial photographs from December, courtesy of Chip. Thank you very much. The only unarmored property in this reach is the Hall, Ron Hall property, Mr. Tharp, Mr. and Mrs. Tharp, and Mr. and Mrs. Charlie Hall to the south, and Mrs. Hoovler to the north, all armored, and a couple of stone groins as well. As noted up here in this picture, you can see another breakwater project, very similar in design to the Hall project, offshore breakwaters with beach nourishment. The pier is exempt. Just another look, flying up river. Again, you can see that iron ore outcrop right here. Just a sketch of the existing condition. About 200 feet of shoreline. The original proposal actually had the breakwaters at 60 feet and 80 feet in length, going right straight to the adjacent property lines extended. That was since revised to be 55 and 75 feet. They were actually brought in a little bit as well, and now they are located 10 feet off of what we would consider the property line extended. With the nourishment in behind the breakwaters, and this area of nourishment beach area will be sprigged with appropriate wetland vegetation. There also is riprap above the mean low water line, actually above mean high water, or right at mean high water, which was approved by the Wetlands Board. And again, the pier proposal is exempt. The pier is exempt by statute. The profile view shows the breakwaters are located an average of 60 feet offshore, 65 feet offshore. The area behind the breakwaters, between the breakwaters and the proposed revetment, will be nourished and sprigged. Again, you can see the representation of the existing bank cut back to a more stable slope and vegetated as have been done on all the adjacent properties. We had asked the applicant or the applicant's agent to provide a sediment analysis. The bank material is going to be used for beach nourishment, and it's showing to be over 90% sand and gravel. That's basically what I've done is just represent here these figures that are represented in the table if you can't see them. So we would consider this bank material to be beach quality for nourishment. Standing on Mr. Hall's bank, not too close, looking back down the shoreline, again, you can see the outcrop, recently fallen tree. Looking to the south, this is the recently graded and stabilized shoreline of the Tharps. Beyond that, the graded and stabilized shoreline with the groin of Mr. and Mrs. Charlie Hall, and I believe that's the Hall Pier. I don't think the Tharps have a pier. Looking now to the north, Mrs. Hoogler has a graded and armored shoreline with a stone groin. This is a lower than normal low tide, so there is a bit of a beach area showing up here. And then two lots beyond that is Mr. Thomas Teal with offshore breakwaters and beach nourishment, very similar in design to the project being proposed. Now I've walked over onto the Tharp property in an attempt to get down to the shoreline. This is the iron ore, potentially archaeological feature. There is some fossil shell in here. Whether or not it's of Indian or Native American origin, that's left to the archaeologists that are now involved in the review under the Army Corps of Engineers Section 106 requirements with the National Historic Preservation Act. Standing now on the outcrop, looking to the north, this is the Hoogler riprap. Looking back the other direction gives you some idea. It's about knee-high in this particular location. You can see some shell, fossil shell remains. Mr. Tharp included in his one of his protest letters 22 photographs, three of which are represented here. I've got the remainder in the file if you need to see them, but essentially showing the same thing. This is a little bit higher tide situation where you can see the water actually breaking on the outcrop, and this gives you some idea of scale. That's a yardstick or meter stick. I just put these in for historical perspective, I guess. This is the Tharp, I'm sorry, this is the Teal property. Prior to being graded and installation of the breakwaters, there were some failed stone, timber groins in the area. If you look here, this is a stone groin to the north of the Teal property. The after picture, this is that same groin that you saw to the top of the slide. Breakwaters have been installed. Nourishment's been placed from the bank material, and it's, in my opinion, a pretty stable situation and looks pretty good. This is the Tharp property prior to their bank grading and stabilization. This is Karen During from VIM. She's short, but she's not that short. It's about a 35 to 40-foot bank. Obviously, the trees have fallen recently. You can get an idea of some of the sandy material. There is some clay and some unsuitable materials, but we are going to require or recommend the installation of a sediment curtain, sediment boom, during the installation of the breakwater so that any of those finds would be kept on site. And this is the after of the Tharp, after the grading and the stone revetment. And again, one last aerial photograph. I'll just leave this up for reference. We received initially received a protest from Mrs. Hoogler, who has since withdrawn her protest verbally. She was, I would say, more concerned with how the bank grading was going to tie into her upland property. That's all been resolved. The applicant, as far as I know, has not obtained his land disturbing permit from the county and his Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act approvals, but that process is taking place as we speak. Again, the local wetlands board has approved it already. Mr. Tharp has actually got three letters on file there. He can probably speak more to the archaeological nature of the issue than I can. But like I said, he's been added to the Corps' list of concerned parties, I believe it's called, wherein he will be a party to any of the archaeological work that's being done in the investigation of this feature before the bank grading can occur. The Corps has already issued their permit contingent upon the issuance of the state permit, but now that the archaeological Section 106 issue has been raised, I believe they're probably going to hold their permit up. I'm sorry, a couple more. Scanning back up river, just to give you a little bit better idea of what the plan is to be. A couple offshore breakwaters, beach nourishment, and again, this was that prior groin that is holding some sand. So your letters, Mr. Tharp's letters are in the file. Mr. and Mrs. Hall also submitted a letter. I don't have an address for them. They submitted it to the Tharps, who then submitted it to me. Neither of which the Tharps nor the Halls, Charlie Halls, opposed the revetment. They just opposed the breakwaters and actually opposed the pier as well. VIMS indicates essentially that you could do either or. You could either do breakwaters or you could do a revetment, but you don't need to do both. And they also recommend strict E&S controls during the bank grading and also the use of a sediment boom, as I had mentioned previously. Department of Conservation and Recreation documents tiger beetles in this area. This whole stretch of Rappahannock River shoreline brings up hits for tiger beetles. If you go out there on a high tide, there is no beach. The water comes right up to the bank. So it's my opinion, and talking with the Army Corps of Engineers, that there really isn't suitable tiger beetle habitat now. After installation of the beach, there may be. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries basically echoes those tiger beetle concerns. Bless you. As stated previously, the Lancaster County Wetlands Board issued their permit. The Corps has issued their permit and added Mr. Tharp as a consulting party regarding Section 106. In summary, with regard to the potential for the property to involve a prehistoric archaeological site, staff would suggest that this is more properly handled through the Corps process, through the Section 106 process, and the majority of that would be associated with the bank grading anyway, not the portion of the project channelward of low water, which is what we're here for today. And accordingly, we're recommending approval of the breakwaters and nourishment using only that suitable course material from the bank. We recommend the use of a turbidity curtain during installation. Understand it's tricky to have a floating curtain surrounding the work area in a tidal river, but it's worth trying. And it's been used before, I would recommend that be part of the permit. We also would like to see a submittal of a detailed planting schedule and monitoring plan for the beach vegetation, as was mentioned in the VIMS report. And lastly, and I'll read this verbatim since I failed to add it earlier, we would further recommend a royalty in the amount of $275 for the beach nourishment over 5,500 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom at a rate of 5 cents per square foot. And I could try to answer any questions you may have. I believe the agent and maybe the applicant, I'm not sure, is here, and I believe Mr. Tharp is here.
These aren't... these are not engineered stamp drawings. Do you feel that you don't need them for this?
We haven't required them in the past. Mr. Watkins with Riverworks has designed and installed breakwater systems like this in the past, and we haven't found any real problem
any need
with
for
them.
That.
If this was in Virginia Beach, you'd be getting stamp drawings.
Right. Okay.
The county didn't approve them. Didn't require them either.
Anyone else have any questions? All right, thank you. We'll leave that one up. Is the applicant present?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jeff Watkins with Riverworks.
You've heard the whole truth, nothing but the truth, except you got it.
I do. Gloucester Point, Virginia. The applicant's unable to be here at this late hour. I apologize. He's got some construction projects going on in his marina in Deltaville. So I'm here, and we'll keep it short since the hour's late. We certainly accept the royalty. We expected that. I kind of knew that was coming. And certainly try to put a turbidity curtain out. We try to do that in most cases, and it's becoming more and more of a common thing. So we'll do our best with that. Planning schedule? Absolutely.
Can I interrupt you 1 minute and explain? I think everybody understands, but explain to the commission a turbidity curtain, how it reacts to the bottom and no silt moving about and whatnot.
Well, it's basically a floating silt fence. They're weighted. It's actually used same type of filter cloth fabric, a little heavier, and it has floats on it, so you have to get the proper height for the tide range. And the ones that we have actually have steel cable in the bottom that weights them down. Now, if you have a 50-mile-an-hour northwest wind or east wind or what have you, it's leaving, you know, and it costs about $10 a foot. So you try your best.
Thank you.
Be glad to answer any other questions.
Any more questions? I'd like to make a comment a staff made a while ago that not only to bid the curtain to keep the silt in the water confined, but these breakwaters are seem to me to be a coming thing and very enhances property, very much so. Is anyone here to protest this? Yes, ma'am. Pray tell the whole truth, not but the truth, help you God.
I do.
State your name.
My name is Edna Knight Roberts. I live at 5208 Mitchell Street, Alexandria, Virginia, which is actually in Fairfax County. But I am a property owner, in fact, three lots at Mosquito Point.
Now, where are you located from the site we're discussing?
I am on Mosquito Creek, my husband and I own property on Mosquito Creek, which is a quarter mile from the Hall property.
Quarter mile.
Also, with my brother, I own property approximately 9 lots to the east of the Hall property. And also, my husband and I own a pond across from our cottage. My family has been going down to Mosquito Point for 56 years, since 1950. First, we were renters, then we became owners. There have been many changes over the course of the years. We've loved Mosquito Point for its unblemished natural beauty. We bought our pond in that area to keep it as natural as possible. Composting and recycling are ways of our lives. We've noted over the years that as people build jetties, erosion occurs on one side and land builds up on the other. The negative effects of breakwaters, groins, and seawalls were shown graphically in a 1997 article in National Geographic. There was a usable dock on our property before we bought it. People further down Mosquito Point were allowed to build or built jetties. Gradually, the dock became unusable because the water became so shallow. You can look towards the very tip of Mosquito Point from our property, and you can see where the water flow has been slowed by jetties and thus sand deposited. The same thing is now beginning to happen to our community dock. My husband, brother, and I have concerns about the Ron Hall project. What's the purpose of the project? Yeah. If it is intended to minimize erosion on the Hall property, will it simply cause more erosion someplace else up or downstream? What will be the environmental impact on fishing, crabbing, and underwater grasses? Will the fill material really be caught up with this little web thing that they'll put out? There was significant road damage to Mosquito Beach Lane several years ago when trucks hauling heavy materials in for a very close project happened. The rock, which is on the Hall property, has been a favorite of the Knight and Roberts families for many, many years, since our early association with Mosquito Point. It does contain fossils and other interesting artifacts and would apparently be covered up by this project. In addition, the area off the rock is known to our family as a great location to troll for rockfish. With these obstructions in place, boating there will be impossible, and the environment drawing the fish probably destroyed. On the beach, we have found Indian arrowheads, ancient shark's teeth, and fossil scallop shells. Just a few short years ago, someone in very close proximity to this project decided to break down his or her riverbank. Suddenly, our beach was covered with a fine mud, and the dirt has since gone away. But what was the effect on the economic, on the environment in that area? Where does the Chesapeake Bay Act fall into all of this? Who will ensure compliance with the Act? Has the Army Corps of Engineers done a model of the effects of this project? Please leave Mother Nature to her own devices and deny this project until much more information is known about the project's impact and assurance can be given that no harm will be done to nearby properties or the Rappahannock River. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else have objection to this? Yes, sir. Swear to tell the whole truth, not but the truth, except you got.
I affirm.
State your name.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Don Tharp. My wife, Tony, and myself live next door at 330 Mosquito Beach Lane. And
you live, you live on the right-hand side
yes,
of this
sir.
Okay.
Point right here.
Yeah. And you have shaped your bank and put riprap in the front.
Appreciate it. Yes, sir. I have prepared a very short synopsis or statement, and before I read this, I would like to go back and recount what the process has appeared to me to be. I was notified back in October of the project, Mr. Hall. No one bothered to come and introduce themselves, tell us about the project. All I knew is there were going to be breakwaters out, a 200-foot pier going out into the river with a 50-foot finger so party boats could come in from the marina from Deltaville, so we understand. And I got very concerned. I did properly get a letter we did from BIMS asking us to comment. I did. One of my very first comments was the inefficiency of the drawings that I was looking at. Nothing was to scale. In my response back to VIMS on the 15th of October, I requested scale drawings, benchmarks, high and low mean, so that I could turn it over to my engineer. I invested $94,000 to put the riprap revetment in, as you see it there. And we purchased our property in the year 2000, never expecting Isabel to come along. And it was devastating to us. We purchased this property because we like the scenic beauty of the Rappahannock. We have other properties up in Fauquier County on the Rappahannock. And the thing that impressed me the most when we purchased the property was in June of 1608, John Smith, on a barge, sailed around the Chesapeake Bay, got stung by a stingray over near Windmill Point, and sailed up past this point describing all the natural resources of the Rappahannock River in his voyage 130 miles up to the falls where Fredericksburg is today. Along his trip, he described 32 Indian villages all along the Rappahannock, of which he described the Cuttawoman tribe being stationed right here on Mosquito Point. I've been in contact with Jamestown this morning, Dr. Bill Kelso, and I've been in touch with the Jamestown-Yorktown Foundation about this remarkable discovery. On the 15th of October, I notified in written form the presence of Indian artifacts here, the possible presence, because I'm an amateur archaeologist, have been for a number of years now, and that was part of the beauty of the site. You know, the neighbors had told us, and I'm going to come here, of course, but the old-timers told me about this wonderful rock where the fossilized formations are, where the Indian habitation was. And over those years, I've been looking every day I have a chance for Indian artifacts. And so when I was disappointed on the 15th of October that my attention to and alerting BIMS and the Wetlands Commission and Army Corps of Engineers was my intention of the possible presence, it was ignored. You know, I appeared before the Wetlands Commission on the 9th of November over in Lancaster County, and again appealed to, I would like to see detailed scale drawings. This is a major project. When my project appeared before BIMS back 3 years ago, one of the criticisms was I did not have scale drawings for a project as major as my mere revetment. for something as the magnitude of going 200 feet out into the jurisdictional waters beyond the line of the war of low mean, we need something better to look at. I heard it mentioned earlier that rebetment or breakwaters suffices. I'm certainly agreeable to rebetment. It needs to be tied into mine and also into the Kinslows. There was an agreement reached at the Wetlands Commission over in Lancaster on the 9th of November that it would be done, that the contractor would work with us, work with the Kinslows to make sure that the boundary lines are respected and everything ties in to do service to protecting the Hall's property. We're all in favor of that, as long as it goes in behind the revetment. In my disappointment in not being heard about the potential Indian habitation here, because it was explained that Dr. Hardaway had said it was not an Indian mitten. But I'm not sure Dr. Hardaway ever went out to the site. I contacted a consulting company called Dovetail Conservation Resource Group up in Fredericksburg, and at my request, they came down and then filed a Department of Historical Resource number 44LA178. This is the only historical resource Lancaster County has depicting the 1608 occasion of the contact period of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it's the only one on file. I mean, apparently this is the only Indian habitation sited in all of Lancaster County, all the way from Windmill Point, all the way up to where it meets Richmond County? Is that the next one up from Lancaster?
Yes.
Richmond County, yes. And so I'm very proud that Lancaster County finally has a historical resource that we can hold up as being what John Smith actually witnessed in 1608. So they determined that the potential site is up on top of the hill. The artifacts are going down the bank, coming out into across the fossilized shelf or layer that comes out into the river. But up on top of the hill, I heard that soil erosion control permits are salt. Up on top of this hill is a pit now dug 100 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 20 feet deep. Also, there's building materials, debris, wood, PVC, steel, other metals, 20 feet from the bank.
Is that of our jurisdiction?
Sir. Let me correct you one time. We're looking at the water, not back in the woods. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let me. I'll bring this down.
We have no hours for that.
Yes, sir. I'll bring this down.
I'd like to question one question, if I could interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you were looking at this precious historic site, and you graded your own bank down, there's no question there that you were looking at a historic site? I mean, you did a lot of grading yourself.
That was part of the consideration. I wanted to know what we could do with our project. So we investigated breakwaters.
It's getting late. Are you about to wrap up what you're trying to get at, the point of the...
I would like to answer your question this way, because that leads into the point. Yes, I did look on my property for historical artifacts. But also the other consideration was how to protect my bank. And I had three choices: breakwaters, revetment, or bulkheads. I contacted the company about drilling, putting bulkheads in. It couldn't be done because of the fossilized shelf we have there, which put me back to revetment. So I put revetment in because we had no choice. You saw the condition of our property before. You didn't hear it before, but you saw the conditions of our property before. The thing I would like to be considered today, if you would kindly accommodate me, is, first of all, the core permit was an RP-19, which has been set aside at this point, pending an archaeological survey because of the filing through the Department of Historical Resources. And I know that does not come under y'all's jurisdiction, but at the same time, I would like to think it could be respected that that the Commonwealth of Virginia does see a historical significance in the project. I'm certainly agreeable to the revetment going in. I would appreciate the denial of the breakwaters, because if you have a fossilized layer and you're going to push in 5,500 square feet of fill, I don't see anything to hold it in place. It's going to continue to shift up and down the river.
Breakwaters hold it in place.
The other thing I would suggest is that for this mere 200 feet shoreline, putting breakwaters in with a pier going 100 or 150 feet out past the breakwaters into the Rappahannock River is something that I would not like to see, only because it does interfere with the scenic beauty. I would also question the stability of how a pier is going to be. The pilings are going to be put down through, in essence, solid rock. And so it would potentially be a future obstruction in the river, especially if we have another hurricane. So I would respectfully request that the application be denied, or at least tabled, until the Army Corps of Engineers tomorrow, along with the Department of Historical Resources, conducts their work under Section 106 and evaluates the proper application of this historical resource.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there any more objections to this project? All right, sir.
30 seconds.
Yes.
What should be?
You have two minutes for rebuttal.
All right. My drawings are to scale. They're inch equals 30. I'm sorry for the confusion, but they're there. The Corps of Engineers has not set this permit aside, but they are, in conjunction with the Department of Historic Resources, going to do an evaluation tomorrow. But it's basically in their hands. The county has issued a permit and the Corps. I got a whole lot of stuff here I could tell you that's not correct, but if you have any questions, I'll answer.
Have any questions, Contractor?
Thank you.
No question? All right. Mr. Schick.
I'd just like to say for the record that offshore breakwaters are the way to go. This project, the neighbors would have done well to do the same. Costs more, but next hurricane coming along, we know who's going to be safe and who's not. Hardening of the shoreline is a problem, and bay-wide. Stone is better than bulkhead. Offshore breakwater is better than stone. Properly engineered, which this appears to be, it's going to be a good project, and I'd like to move to recommend it.
Second.
Motion made, Mr. Schick. Second, Mr. Holland. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Thank you, sir. Fairfax County Department of Public Works.
Somebody's read this. Yeah.
Bob, there's no end to your stuff today.
I'm glad to see somebody's helping Tracy anyway.
I know. I think we're going to have to order dinner.
I did that a while ago. Nobody responded.
All right, I'm going to keep this one fairly short. I think it's pretty straightforward. The Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services, they request an after-the-fact permit modification to retain approximately 50 linear feet of riprap stream bank stabilization along Pohit Creek, associated with a sewer line project in Fairfax County. The approximate location is shown here on the map with the red arrow. This is on Pohit Creek. It's to the west of Fort Belvoir. That's Interstate 95, shown here in red, and this is Route 1 here in red. Again, on an aerial photograph, it's located just below. There's a railroad track through here where, and a commuter rail station. You actually come down the hill to the location here. Previously, the commission has, back in 2003, as a page 2 item during their May 27th meeting, approved the installation of the sewer line, these four crossings here. After that permit was issued, the applicant did come back before the commission as another page 2 item which allowed them to place a concrete cap over an existing sewer line within this easement, as well as a concrete encasement around the new sewer line that the commission had previously permitted in 2003. And it also allowed gabion mattresses, similar to the baskets we see on the shoreline sometimes, to be placed over top of the entire sewer line project as it crossed Powhick Creek at the four crossings. They again, last year, exactly a year ago, in January of 2005, came back before the commission as another page two item to remove a time of year restriction that had been placed on the permit for anadromous fish. The commission gave them an extra 2 weeks to finish the project. And now they are back before you again. This time, though, is an after-the-fact request. They placed 50 linear feet of riprap along the stream bank where the location of the star is in the drawing. This is a drawing they have recently submitted to us. Here's the sewer line that it came down. This was the existing sewer line here along the top, and I believe this was the one they had added in that the commission approved the crossings of Powhick Creek further down the line. None of the crossings are shown in this particular drawing. The railroad tracks that run just north of the location where they installed the riprap are here. This is Powhick Creek running down through the middle, and shown in yellow here is the 50 linear feet of riprap. That riprap does extend channelward of ordinary high water approximately 1 foot. It does extend down.